You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mootsy, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how's it going out there on the West Coast?
Only terrific.
We love it. Come on. Interesting night around the NBA. Let's dive straight into it. Isaiah Hartenstein made his comeback for the OKC Thunder. He returned in a very impressive performance. He put up 13 points, 14 rebounds, rebounding a huge issue for the Thunder last year, which is why they couldn't, you know, reach that championship caliber that people were maybe expecting them to. He had three assists, but he threw some absolutely beautiful behind-the-back passes and all that kind of stuff during the game, which didn't lead to direct assists, but his passing was on display as well. And I'm extremely excited to see when Chet Holmgren gets back, how it works with both of them out there on the floor. What do you think about OKC now with Isaiah Hartenstein back?
You know, I think the health of Chet Holmgren will determine, you know, the type of season that they're going to have. I think with Chet in the lineup, they are a championship caliber team because of his versatility, what he brings, his shot blocking ability, to stretch the floor out, do the things that he does on the court, dribble, pass. And he's just he's a very versatile defender. However, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to reach their ultimate goal, which is to win a championship without him. I'm not sure the severity of this injury. It did not look good from what I could see. I would suspect, Mo, he's probably going to be out longer than what we are led to believe through the media. But we will see. And if he does come back this year, you know, what are we really going to expect? You know, he's going to miss a significant part of the season with this type of injury. So long term, I just hope he is able to come back and play and move on from an injury like that, that he sustained. I don't see any reason for him not to be able to come back. But I'm not sure, Mo, if he comes back this year because of that injury. I'm just not sure, but we'll see how they play. See how this plays out.
Well, they listed him as out for 8 to 10 weeks. So we'll see what the recovery process is like. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the 76ers, and last night, their nightmare continued because Paul George, he hyperextended his left knee, the same one that he did during the preseason, as they lost another game to the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Sixers are now 2-12. It was kind of close at the end. They just couldn't get it done. It was kind of an awful final possession from the Sixers when they were trying to make it close. But do you see any sign of positivity on the horizon at all for this Sixers team? Because yesterday you said that they got the talent, but now they're down without Paul George, and it's unknown how long he's going to be out for.
Well, that's a significant blow. Yes, as we discussed yesterday, we said they have the talent. However, when that talent is not available, then we're faced with the same situation. They're undermanned due to injuries or not playing or whatever the case may be. And then you're asking them to all play extended minutes and playing in those minutes where people like Maxey, who is just coming back from a hamstring injury, Joel Embiid is clearly not 100%. Then all of a sudden, Paul George is not available, or, you know, he's available in a very limited role. Now we have a serious issue, and the issue is availability. I mean, we've said that numerous times. So this is not looking good at the moment for the Sixers, and it's unfortunate for any player to get injured, in particular these three players who are all currently not playing or participating at 100%.
Well, Embiid did get asked about what we discussed yesterday, and his response was, whoever leaked that is a real piece of expletive. We're a family friendly show. I won't repeat that.
Is that what I said yesterday?
Not quite those terms. That was his response. Rather than owning up to his lack of leadership or saying that he's going to be accountable, he decides to blame the person who leaked the story rather than.
I don't think it's a blame, Mo. To all people here, right? Because Mo and I are here. It's very important for us to do the following. You don't blame, right? There's no blame. We don't blame anyone for anything, right? The more you blame, you paint yourself in a role that Oh, poor me, poor me. Well, that's we're not the victim here. But what I will say is, if you're going to be in any type of relationship, there has to be a level of trust. And certainly, here's the fact, however that got to wherever, however it got there to that, where someone like me, who's not looking for that, well, you know my rule. I stick to what's going on the court. Whatever, whoever leaked that information clearly betrayed the trust tree. Okay? This isn't a blame game. If that's an internal issue that they are currently working through, which I've never been in a situation where it's been perfect. I've never seen that situation. I've never seen that scenario. Perfection is in someone's imagination. However, the reporter got that information. Clearly, there's a squeaky wheel in the locker room. Clearly. Okay. Now, that to me says more about what's going on than Joel Embiid. That says more to me about the cult. Because Mo, we hear these things, and I'm holding everyone accountable. I don't care what you got going on behind the scenes, because we abide by the rule. Winning covers a multitude of sins. So this has gone on years and years. Why? Because they were winning, so you just didn't say it. Now that they're not winning, now it comes out. So to me, what does this really say? This says that there is a trust problem within the organization. We hear every organization say culture. We're building our culture. A new guy gets hired. What's the first thing he says, Mo, in the press conference?
Culture.
Culture. Okay. Well, what kind of culture is this, Mo, where every time you and I have a conversation, it gets leaked? If it's just you and I, Mo, having an off a conversation, why is it getting leaked?
But the thing is, it's not about it getting leaked. It's about the issue at hand in the first place, right? If I go to the club tonight and I cheat on my girl and someone tells her, I can't be mad that someone's leaked it. I have to take responsibility and ownership for what I did. The same way, Joel needs to take, despite whoever leaked it, he needs to take accountability and ownership for his unprofessionalism.
I'm not here to judge anyone, because if I
That's why
told
you're my guy.
because if I told our audience what I really know about the NBA, okay, and I'm not here to sit here and be all of a sudden now be Mr. Good Guy or start judging people or start whatever. What I am going to say is the following. If there is an issue, if there is an issue on your team, you solve that in-house. That's an in-house situation. That's an in-house situation, right? If, trust me, he's not the only one, and he won't be the last. He's not the only one, and I've seen people tolerate many different things because of very talented individuals. And I'm not just talking about sports. I'm talking about other professions as well. When you have someone who affects your bottom line, they tend to get away with more than people who don't have the same level of talent. Now, I don't know what world the other people live in, but the world that I live in, which I observe every single day, that is the case. Now, am I to judge it? Who am I to judge? Who am I to say? But what I do know, if there is an issue that's affecting their bottom line now, and they like this issue currently is, well, I think there's a better way to go about it than leaking it to the media. I think there's a better way to go about it, but that's just me. But that's just me and my 30 years of experience. But don't mind what I say. Do it your way. Let's see how this plays out now. Let's see how this plays out, and let's see how you can win in this league without talent. Let's see, right? Because now I'm holding everyone accountable. This is called leadership. And the leadership starts at the top. The leadership goes from the top down. So let's see now if this is the best way to handle it. I'm just going to observe. All I'm going to do is talk about they lost the game. Very unfortunate. And it's going to be hard for them to get out. All of the other stuff doesn't matter to me. because I'm not distracted by who's on time, who's not on time. I got paid, Mo, just like any other player that plays professionally. I got paid to perform in them 82 games. And let me assure you this. If you went 82-0 and you was late to a practice, I guarantee you there will not be one thing leaked.
Yeah.
So, and because I know that is true, and because I know that is how this really works, my question is, okay, well, what's the problem?
But they're not 82-0. They've got a guy who's refusing to play back-to-backs.
Leadership starts at the top. Leadership starts at the top. Now, if you want to lead and you want me to address the issue, and if Philadelphia wanted me to address it, they would call me and they would pay me because it's not free. Mm-hmm. I've seen this movie so many times, I think it's comical at this stage.
Oh, yeah. The Sixers, you know how they made the Showtime show about the Lakers in the 80s? They need to make a show about the process Sixers all the way from the very start up until now. It would be peak comedy. But what's not comedy is the New York Knicks. They have been playing very well. They've won four straight. Knicks fans were very mad at me on Instagram and TikTok.
Were they?
When the season, because I can only talk about what I see in front of me. I can only talk about the games that I watch, right? I can't see into the future. We can make predictions for the future. But Karl Anthony Towns has finally settled in. He now has more 30-point games this season than he had all of last season. He's shooting 55% from the field, 57% from three, and 85% from the free throw line so far this season. How are you liking the Knicks now? They are 6-4 in their last 10. But those last four wins have come in a row.
Listen, we said at the beginning of the year, I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it all the way to the end. The Knicks have talent. The Knicks will be able to score. You know, when you give up 122 points to a team minus Kevin Durant, I am really concerned. However, let's talk about the game that we witnessed last night.
Yeah, they put up
130. The Knicks are going to win their fair share of games. Why? They're going to play hard. A Tom Thibodeau team is going to play hard. They have terrific players in their starting five. What they're lacking is depth. Again, when you look at the numbers and you look at the minutes played, they're all close to 40 minutes and above. I'm just concerned about what this 82-game schedule is going to do to them as they enter into the playoffs, because we know this team was built with one goal in mind. They should only be evaluated by their ability or inability to cash in on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win their fair share of games. They're going to be very well prepared. They're going to play hard. They have terrific scores. They have multiple players in their starting lineup that's capable of scoring 30 or more points. This isn't anything new. You're going to play screen roll with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. Well, that's a difficult cover for anyone. Mm-hmm. Because of his ability to shoot three, and you got to rotate and so forth and so on. If you don't rotate, Jalen Brunson is going to play one-on-one. Okay, so should they win games? Absolutely. And they're going to win games. But what I'm concerned about is what I've said from the day one. So I think this is to be expected. However, Mo, there's only one time I really want to have a view about this Knicks team. Will I see them in June? There's nothing else. I expect the Knicks to win games. I expect the Knicks to win over 50 games this year.
Easy.
I expect the Knicks to be in the top three of the division.
They have to be.
Okay. So with that, this is to be expected. They lost some games early, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, those things happen. But they're righting the ship right now. And give those guys credit. They're showing you they can score points. However, I bet you Tom Thibodeau hasn't had an hour of sleep since the season began with them giving up the points that I'm seeing teams score against the New York Knicks and the Tom Thibodeau team. It's unprecedented. I've never seen this before where you're scoring the amount of points against a New York Knicks team or a Tom Thibodeau team. I think this is the most surprising thing, that they're not defending at all.
Mm-hmm. If we're looking into the numbers for the New York Knicks right now, let me just pull up the stats. They're giving up 112 points per game.
And what is that in the league?
That's right in the middle. They're 13th in the league, so they're middle of the pack. The best defenses by opponent points per game. Can you guess which team?
Probably Golden State.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, sorry. Cleveland. It's got to be Cleveland, right? Oh, it's not Cleveland. Who is
The
it?
Orlando Magic, 102.3. Then it's the OKC Thunder. By the way, Jalen Williams, just insane as a center. The Houston Rockets, then the Clippers, then the Warriors, then the Mavericks, then the Spurs, then the Heat. Then, at number nine, your Detroit Pistons.
Where are the Cavaliers?
The Cavaliers are 11th, and the Celtics are 12th.
Wow, interesting.
They're just high-powered offenses. I feel like the opponent points per game statistic can be skewed oftentimes if you have a huge lead and then you sit your starters in the fourth quarter and then the opponents are scoring.
That's interesting. What's the differential from offense to defense? Can you look that up real quick? Or
Scoring points per game.
Yeah.
Let me pull that.
That's interesting.
Let me pull that up right now. Let me get these. The Cleveland Cavaliers are first with 123.5.
Okay, I was gonna say how are they winning if they, I was okay. Well, that makes sense. They're plus what, plus 10 or something at least.
Yeah,
plus
yeah,
10. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
The Celtics are second.
Okay, all right. Now I was wondering. I was like, well, wait a minute. How are they winning? So the scoring. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, if we look at the total point differential, the Cavaliers have, amongst all the games they played so far, they have a differential of plus 209.
Okay.
The Thunder, plus 170. The Warriors, plus 147. The Celtics, plus 146. If we go down to the bottom of the league, the Wizards, minus 192. The Pelicans, minus 190. The Jazz, minus 152. And the Sixers, minus 123.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, more as, you know, as the youth like to say, the math wasn't math in there when you said that. That didn't make sense to me. I was like, wait a minute, how are you going to be 11th in the league with the
with defense? But
I was going to say, but the scoring, okay, that makes sense.
If you look at defensive rating, which is like a statistic weighted per 100 possessions, the Thunder have the best defense in the league, followed by the Magic, Rockets, Warriors, Grizzlies, Clippers, Mavericks, Spurs, then Cavs. So I just think for the Cavs and the Celtics, when they're running up these big leads and whatnot, is natural tendency. And maybe we'll see that change as the season progresses. But we've got to do a quick episode today before we go. We will predict tonight's matchups. It's currently 15-6 to me. We haven't included the NBA Cup results. We'll save that for when Scott's here. So, BJ, you've got some ground to make up, and you have the chance to do that by predicting the first game tonight, which is your Detroit Pistons versus the Charlotte Hornets.
I'm going to go with my Pistons tonight. I'm going to go with my Pistons.
Yeah? Any reason why?
They're my Pistons. They're not your Pistons. They're my Pistons.
I'm glad you stopped saying our Pistons, because it ain't our Pistons.
Well, it really is. Secretly, you are a Pistons fan. We all know it.
No, there's no secret about that. I'm also going with the Pistons. Trey Mann is a game time decision, so I'll rock with the Pistons as well. What about the Wolves and the Raptors? The Raptors being at home.
Let's go with the Wolves.
Tim Wolves have won the last two. I think it should be a road win for the Wolves. Did you know that every NBA team has won on the road against an opponent, except for the Timberwolves, who since 2005 have not won in Toronto?
No.
And then their next game is against the Celtics, where they haven't won there since 2005 either, I don't think. So,
those are great stats. Those are great stats.
Yeah, let's go with the Wolves. The next one is the Tankathon, the Jazz and the Spurs.
What's going on with Wembanyama, by the way?
Wembanyama is out, according to the injury report.
What's going on there?
Let me have a look. He has been ruled out due to a right knee contusion. That was what kept him out of the Thunder game. A contusion is just a fancy word for a bruise, right?
What, he bumped knees or something? Or
yeah, bruised right knee.
Okay.
So that's the...
Because he hasn't played in, what, two or three games, right?
He missed the Thunder game on Tuesday.
And he's not playing tonight.
No, right? He's out on the injury report, and Chris Paul's a game-time decision. Walker Kessler also out. Jordan Clarkson game-time decision. Jeremy Sochan and Devin Vassell are also out for the Spurs. I'm picking the Jazz for this one.
Yeah, let's pick the Jazz.
Yeah.
Let's pick the Jazz.
And then the league leading defense, Orlando Magic, are in your city of Los Angeles to take on the Lakers.
Right. I want to
Do you
take
want the
Lakers.
Injury report before you give me
Yeah,
your answer?
Give me that.
It's insane. We have to do this.
No, it's you know, I've really caught on. You pointed it out, and I'm like, you know what, Mo is right. You know, we have to do the injury report now before making a decision.
It's ridiculous because when I was growing up, when I was growing up, I'm watching. Let's say we're watching the Lakers. I know Kobe's going to be there. I know Lamar Odom's going to be there. I know Derek Fisher's good. Now you turn on some games, you're looking at the starting lineups like, where the hell is everyone? Anyway, for the Magic, Paolo's still out and Wendell Carter Jr. is a game time decision. For the Lakers, get ready. Anthony Davis game time decision. Rui Hachimura game time decision. Jackson Hayes out. Jalen Hood-Schifino game time decision. Bronny James game time decision. Jared Vanderbilt out and Christian Wood is out.
Lakers.
Still?
Yeah.
I'm taking the Lakers at home. But I wouldn't be shocked if Orlando could do something there. I wouldn't be completely shocked. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see. That's been another quick episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Appreciate you. We got to get moving. But before we go, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast from.
There's not much going on. Huh? We didn't even talk about the Bucks. The Bucks won a game last night. We didn't talk about
anybody.
They
beat the Bulls.
Bulls have been playing some good basketball.
Fourth worst in point differential. Just in case you don't remember from 5 minutes ago, or fifth worst.
Okay.
So they're minus 126 on the season or something. So,
Do you know what I hear a lot?
What's that? Mo, you win the games you're supposed to win. And that is a game they were supposed to win. So we're not throwing a parade for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. You're absolutely. Well, I don't know if we can say that with them because we don't know what they're supposed to do right now. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks right now, they're not even 500 right now, right?
But
can we start figuring out what's going on in Indiana? Because, you know, they've gone from the
media
darling.
It's not what's happening in Indiana. It's what's happened to Tyrese Haliburton. That's the real difference here between this season. Last season, he looked like he was on the precipice of becoming a star player. This season, not so much.
Well, this is a tough league, and I always
he finished in 30 minutes last night. He finished with 4 points on 1 of 7 shooting.
-28. I say this league will always be a player's league.
Oh, and by the way, 31 points, 12 rebounds from one Mr. Alperen Şengün. Should I share with the listeners what I told you and Scott last night?
Sure.
I will. Let me pull that stat up right now because. You guys know how much I love Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün is closer to the basket and contesting more shots than ever before. In raw numbers, he's third in the NBA in total shots contested within 6 feet of the basket. But more relevant to Houston's defense performance is that Şengün is allowing opponents to shoot just 53.6% on shots within 6 feet of the basket. Who are the only two players better at protecting the basket than Şengün right now?
I'm going to say Rudy Gobert and...
your boy.
Evan Mobley.
Nope. The other one.
Giannis.
Victor. And Chet.
Victor and Chet. Okay.
That means, statistically speaking, just on stats alone, Şengün is protecting the rim better than Gobert and Mobley and Giannis. I'm not saying that he is better. I'm just saying according to the numbers.
And we love numbers.
Apparently so.
Yeah, we do. Yay for the numbers.
No, I just say it because whenever I talk about how much I enjoy watching him play, everyone tells me he's a bad defender. And I'm like, just because he doesn't block all the shots, he still alters them enough to make opponents miss. And it's just nice to have some data that supports that fact for people who don't really watch the games.
Okay. I'm a huge Şengün fan. I appreciate him. When he's available, I just love the big fella, the way he passes the ball, the way he plays, the way he competes. And, you know, it's hard to like someone who – it's hard not to like someone who goes out there every night and he competes. Love the guy. I love the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way the whole Houston Rockets team play because they have taken on the personality of one of our favorite coaches, right? I mean, they just get after you. So, but you know what were they like 11-5 or 11-6 or something like that? I don't know
Houston
the
Rockets are
record.
fourth right now, 11-5.
Oh yeah, so
8-2 in the last 10.
that's what I'm saying.
Let's
I
keep it
just
going.
let's keep it going. I mean, just to think what they were before the coach got there, and then now that he is there, they're playing at. I mean, it's hard to say they're playing at like in the Western Conference, by the way. They're doing this. This just says a lot about you. I say this all the time. You truly take on the personality of your coach.
BJ, do you know what we're 10 games away from?
Oh my, 10 games away from what I like to say is my evaluation point,
We'll see who's
25
real and
games.
who's not.
Who's real? And then you're right about that, Mo. And you know what, Mo? The amount of injuries that we're discussing at this stage of the season, I don't know what it is, but are we on pace to for our star players to miss more games than ever?
You
Are
know
we
what we need
on
to do?
pace?
I'm gonna find a doctor and get them on the show as a guest. I'm gonna find a doctor.
No, let's not find a doctor. Let's find the players. Let's
They
find.
got
Let's
time on their hands.
let's
No,
find the
BJ, teams don't
players.
let injured players do media like this. The PR staff will have a
Because
nightmare.
you know what, Mo, and the reason you don't want to with the doctors is, listen, if someone says they're hurt, I have to take them at their word. Like, how many times have we gone to the doctor and you say, "What's going on?" And doctor said, "Hey, you do the checkup and nothing's here." And then all of a sudden, sometime later, something shows up that wasn't like, if someone says they're hurt or something is going on, then that person has something going on. Okay, right? Isn't I'm taking these young people at their face value. However, I will continue to say this, Mo. You cannot prepare for this journey in 4 or 5 days. And you hear me say, and then Mo says, "Well, do you want them to play more?" No, I don't think it's about playing more. It's about preparing for this journey, Mo. This is a 82 games, Mo. You just don't play 4 or 5 game preseason games and say, "Okay, I'm ready to go." You have to build to this level of stamina that's necessary. This is a marathon.
Amen.
Okay. This is a well,
And
this is a marathon of a season, and you just have to prepare. I mean, again, Mo, there's something to having 2-a-days for an entire month, and guys were flying commercial. But when I first came in the league, I was washing my own uniform.
yikes.
So there's something to this, Mo. I'm not saying go to that extreme, but what I am saying, Mo, is if guys were able to play 82 games flying commercial, now guys have every single thing available and they can't stay healthy. Let's evaluate and study how it worked then as compared to now. Something is going on here. And what I see, which is glaring to me, Mo, is lack of court time. If there's a, now, people are going to say, "Oh, wow, they jump higher and run faster." Okay. Now we have the data to support and figure out is that true or not true. But I will say what's glaring to me is how come these guys practice more and were healthier, and these guys practice less and they're missing more games? Now that we can see, we have the numbers to support that. And I'm not saying you play more minutes. What I'm saying is build yourself up to play to where you can, your body is used to this type of trauma. I mean, Mo, you're playing 3 games in 4 nights. I think we talked about the Clippers. I was surprised the Clippers beat the Magic, by the way, because they were on a 3-game, even though
I
they
told
were at
you that they
home.
don't win on the road.
Yeah. But actually, not to get sidetracked, that's pretty impressive by this Clippers team.
This is
That they're.
this has been 11 minutes of sidetrack because I was trying to end the episode.
Yeah.
I
So
got an
let's end
appointment I
it.
gotta get to. So we're
Yeah,
gonna wrap
you
this
and
one
I
up
both.
and we're gonna
You and I
keep
both.
this going tomorrow. Appreciate you as always, BJ. And until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.